This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Oh, Father, we thank you for you are here. We thank you, Jesus, the Son of God. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. From the beginning of this series, even till now, we thank you. We receive mercy today. That you help us to do all your will, even concerning today's matter. For there is that which is in your heart concerning today. We ask for grace. You help every one of us to align, both the teacher and the hearer. You help us to align in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. We'll be starting right away. This is lesson 8. Our theme has been Living the Miraculous, Abounding in Grace, Faith, and Love. By the grace of God, today's topic is Abounding in Miracles, Engaging Supernatural Dynamics. Book of Mark chapter 11, verse 23 to 24. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, you know, during the time of prayer, because this theme is much more than just teaching it. It will do a work in our heart, in our mind, and to our personality, that there is a kind of person you should become at the end of today's teaching. You see, living the miraculous must be our daily life, because demons will actually be on rampage in these last days. And you can't fall short of living the miraculous. You will be at the mercy of the devil. How you survive is that he has not gotten to you. But that is a very dangerous state to be in. You have to be in a place whereby you are very offensive. And that is the very essence of this teaching, whereby living the miraculous is our reality. How we live daily. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, she knew that she had an issue. I don't want us to approach this lesson as if we don't have any issue. Many of us, we have the issue of unbelief. Many of us, we feel, living the miraculous is for some pastors. Some of us, we feel, oh, let me just concentrate on the salvation of my soul. But your body is under attack. Your mind is under attack. Your natural is under attack. There was a way the blind Bartimaeus, there was a way he cried. Even when everything was shutting him down. So can we read the book of Mark chapter 11, verse 23 to 24? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he has said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 11. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For he by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. Our objectives today, we want to emphasize the believer's role and responsibilities in appropriating God's gracious provisions for miraculous living. So God has provisions for us for miraculous living. Then also want to see the processes of initiating and sustaining the supernatural on a daily basis. Introducing the lesson, God expressed his desire for man to live victoriously upon the earth by making abundant provisions available through redemption, ensuring that man is empowered to rise above the limitation brought by sin at the fall and to enter God-ordained destiny. He gave his son to the perishing world, and all who believe in him are appointed for great exploit. However, these provisions and blessings cannot be appropriated without man's alignment, response, and active participation to make them effectual in his life. Jeremiah 29:11.
I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
The thought of what?
Thought of peace.
And not of what?
Not of evil.
Not of evil. So it is important for us to know that God actually has the thought of peace and not of evil towards us. So that is why you should not be comfortable when evil is happening around you. And what is evil in this context? That which God have not designed for man. To live graciously, the believer must bring his members into alignment with God's provision, standing upon the integrity of God's word, the authority in the name, and the power of the blood of Jesus. Without consistent engagement of these provisions, the miraculous becomes occasional or totally absent. For the principles that set it in engagement of these provisions are miraculous. They become occasional or totally absent. For the principles that set it in motion and sustain such life are not rightly appropriated. So it is very important for us to know that God has actually made provisions for miraculous living. And we should know that those provisions are actually the word. The word of God is a provision for us to live miraculously. You know, a man gave a testimony, one of Bishop Oyedepo's book. He said that he has always been prone to malaria, like he has to always be with his drugs. And, you know, thank God for him, his sister, a nurse, you know, encouraged him that he should always use his drugs so that he can be malaria free. But he said he attended a service and he saw certain scriptures that were quoted that he had got. And ye all are what? The children of the Most High. He said, when he got home, he went back to his jotting. When you come for a service like this, you should be writing down. So that when you go back home, you have something to fall back on. You have something to go through again. So he said he was reading those jottings and he stumbled on that scripture. He checked it again. He said, ah, yeah, God. He said, God cannot be having malaria. He said, children of the Most High cannot be on drugs. He said, he knew that no, this is the end of malaria. Why? Because he saw a provision of God. Even for his health, for his well-being, in the word of God. So the word of God is a provision. And that is why you cannot be a lazy student of the word and enjoy living the miraculous. Because you not know those things that have been freely given to you. Because God is not a man that he should lie. And as he said it, he will bring it to pass. If you don't know what has been written concerning you in his word, is a provision that God has given to us. And that is why, you know, one of the greatest gifts that God has given to man is actually the Bible. And this man I'm talking about a man, in bracket, a believer. If an unbeliever reads the Bible, he should get you born again. So that you can really now have access to the provisions that are in the scriptures. So the word of God is a provision that we must ensure that we become studious of such. The word of God is not just limited to scriptures. Hope you know. Also, when you are being ministered to, it's the ministration of the word. When you pray, it's a provision of God so that you can know those things that have been freely given to you. Another provision is actually the name of Jesus. Apostle Paul, God really helped him to show us the import of that name. According to the book of Philippians chapter 2, he said, therefore, God has given him a name above what? Every other name. That is, no matter how strong that issue is. Once it has a name, forget it. The name of Jesus is above that name. And you see, the order of creation is that the least or the lesser submit to that which is above. It's the order of creation. And that is why you see that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. So the name of Jesus is a provision that you as a believer, you should enjoy. You should assess it and enjoy it. You know, many of us, we use that name as defensive weapon, not even as offensive. You see, the name of Jesus stands both as offensive and what? And defensive. You wake up in the morning, you are going through issues even at your workplace or in your business space. I declare today, in the name of Jesus, today is problem free. Whatsoever thing you are going through, the name of Jesus has answer. It's a provision. God has provided things for us, but many of us, we are not assessing them. We are not using them. Another provision for us to live the miraculous is actually the blood of Jesus also. You see, the blood of Jesus brought about our redemption. The blood of Jesus brought about our justification. The blood of Jesus brought about our access to God. You know, many of us, the way we trust in our uncles and in our aunties. And why do you trust in your uncles and your aunties? Because of blood tie. But you've forgotten that there is a stronger blood that has tied you to God. You've forgotten that there is a strong tie, you know, which is the blood of Jesus that has tied you to your heavenly Father. So many of us, we live in penury. We live a substandard life that is not after the order of God. That is not after the order of that which God has prepared and ordained for a believer. Because we are not making good use of what? Of the provision. And that is why you are not an accident. Even if your parents did not plan to give birth to you, probably they were boyfriend and girlfriend. That does not make you an accident. Are you a believer? You belong to another family. Let's read the book of Romans chapter 6 verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Because if we don't yield ourselves to God, there is no way we enjoy living the miraculous. So it is important for us to prepare our heart by the grace of God that we need to know that there is a need for me to align. Without knowing your roles, your responsibility, knowing that you also ought to align with these provisions of God, living the miraculous will be almost impossible. It will be far from you. It will be far from being your reality. Though God is faithful and committed to his part, you know, whatever is to be established upon the earth demands the cooperation and participation of man. Hence, the believer bears the responsibility of making miraculous living a constant reality in his life by giving diligent heed to the process of initiating and sustaining it. Psalm 115, verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord, but the earth are it given to the children of men. You know, many of us, we feel the miraculous is actually for God alone. You see it as God exclusive thing. That for you to be able to access it, you have to beg God. You see, that mind alone, I've already buried you accessing the miraculous. No, the heart has he given to who? To you, to the children of men. As a believer, you have all the rights and privileges to enjoy the provisions of God for living the miraculous. While it is believers' birthright to enjoy the blessings of God's supernatural provision, this reality is experienced and sustained only by those who know how to take their place. This, therefore, makes it mandatory for the believer to give himself to learning the dynamics of how to make the miraculous his daily reality. You know, the book of Mark chapter 16, verse 16 to 18 says that these signs shall follow them that what? That believe. So signs and wonders should follow me. No, signs and wonders did not end with the apostles. Satan has bastardized mine to the point whereby, you know, somebody said recently that those pastors that are claiming that they are doing miracles, they should go to General Hospital to go and perform those miracles. You see, it's because of what Satan has done to mine. Miracles are happening what? Daily. Do you know the condition? To them that believe. Do you know that blood of Jesus that is tying you to the Father? Do you know that blood is full of miracles? So a believer should not struggle to live the miraculous. There is the provision of the miraculous in that blood. So meaning by birth, You have the what? Access to living the miraculous. By what? Birthright. No, it's not begging God. It's a birthright. So you should know that living the miraculous is your birthright. There is something that must sink in this morning. I'm trusting the Lord that much more than manual, you will come into a baptism of the spirit of faith that births the miraculous. It is your birthright. Healing is your birthright. Much more health is your birthright. Breakthroughs are your birthright. Victories all around are your birthright. Having a sound mind is your birthright. Signs and wonders will follow them that believe. Them that believe. If you believe, have it. If you believe, receive it. If you believe, receive it. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Them that believe. How to initiate and sustain miraculous living. You see, Bishop said something very profound in one of his books, Bishop Oyedepo. He said he knows that he can never be poor. He said, so he began to dress and behave like it, even though he had nothing. He will wear his best clothes because what? He knows. He believes. As I'm speaking, miracle will be happening. How to initiate and sustain miraculous living? Desire. This is a strong and tangible longing in the soul to possess or experience a reality set before it as hope. Thus, every natural man on earth is laden with diverse desires which are not aligned with God's purpose. From Genesis, it is evident that whatever a man hears, sees, and dwells upon can arouse his expectations and shape his desires. This shows that the believer must give himself wholly to the hearing, reading, studying, meditation of God's word until it paints God's expectation concerning his life and every matter, thereby changing and shaping his desire of his soul. You see, the problem many of us have is that we don't have desire. Miraculous living begins when the believer is able to conceive a possibility beyond his present limitations and circumstances. This is more than wishful thinking. It is a heart posture fueled by earnest expectation to see God's miraculous power in action. Hence, desire conditions the believer to be rightly positioned and actively engaged in all that is required to experience the manifestation of the Lord's will for his life. Let's read the book of Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermediate with all wisdom. Let's read Mark chapter 9, verse 23 also. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. He didn't say some things are possible. It's all things. Not some things. Not little things. Say all things are possible.
All things are possible.
All things are possible to he that believe all things. Because we are considering how to initiate and sustain. You can't initiate the miraculous if you don't have desire for it. Many people, many believers are comfortable with their current state. That they don't have desire. Because desire can be initiated. How can you set desire? How can you spark the fire of desire? Say by reading the word.
By reading the word.
By studying the word.
Studying the word.
By meditating on the word. That is how desire can well up in your heart. When you do these things, what happens is that you give birth to desire. And that is why in the book of James, also chapter 1, verse 13, he said, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then when lust at what? Conceived. It bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. So you see also that there is no way you can live the miraculous if you don't have desire for it. You see, if you don't have desire for it, nothing will change. Nothing will move. You can't enjoy the miraculous if you don't have desire for it. Based on, you know, HR statistics, we discover that people that have desire to come into managerial and also C-level What happened is that they have a strong desire that at times they will come here, spend 6 months. They will go to another place, spend 2 years. Another place. And that is how they will keep climbing. You see, two people can start the same career same day from the same company. But just give them 10 years down the line. You see, one can still remain in that first company, not really progressing. Why? She does not have any desire for it. But you see one that is actually eyeing what? That C level. They also want to be called C something. Either COO or CFO. Those things will push the person to study more. Will push the person to what? To learn. Will push the person to do certification courses. Will push the person to go and learn more. He probably just BSc, you know, to go and do maybe masters, to do all those things because of desire. If it is so in the natural, how much more concerning spiritual things? So if you don't have desire, don't expect anything. Because your desire shows us what result you are expecting. Your desire shows us what you are expecting. So if you are not expecting the miraculous, then God does not hold you. Positioning the heart to receive a word from the Lord. And we should know that what initiates the miraculous is also what will sustain it. You see that song? I will never go back. Oh.
No, no.
It's already too late. Oh.
No, no.
It won't make sense. Oh.
No, no.
That is how you should live your life daily. That every day, I should be enjoying living the miraculous. Any other life lesser than that is not it. If you can't trust God to live the miraculous, how do you want to be a believer that will be seated on the throne? You can't even conceive it. Because it is the same heart that has no desire to live the miraculous. How do you want to finish this journey? What separated Paul from his contemporary? He had a strong desire. He said, though I'm the least, but yet I what? I labored more than they all. He said, yet not I, but the grace of God. He desired the grace. So you know that he was a man that was always desiring for the grace of God. Positioning the heart to receive a word from the Lord. A believer is not to act hastily on matters like the unbeliever, who is moved by impulse and governed by the senses. The senses and circumstances. Rather, is to wait prayerfully on every matter and obtain the word of the Lord concerning it. Let's read the book of Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. So Jesus prayed. He separated himself into a solitary place so that he can receive word from the Lord. In adverse circumstances, the desire for the miraculous and a mental knowledge of the scripture certainly concerning the matter does not guarantee victory. Every situation demands a specific word from the Lord by which the believer is furnished with the substance of faith required to superimpose supernatural realities upon his life. Let's read the book of Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but what? Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Because we need to know that just you having a mental note of scriptures does not guarantee victory. There is a specific word for a specific situation. There is a specific word that a particular circumstance needs. You know, in the storm, the disciples, they cried out to Jesus, cried out that we perish. What did he say? Peace be still. But we saw in another place, when he wanted to bring Lazarus that was sleeping back to life, what did he say? Father, I thank you for you what? Hear me always. Because in the storm, the Father is already hearing you. So, there is a specific what? Word for every situation. When he was to feed the 5,000 also, what did he say? He first gave thanks. And he divided it. He gave it to the disciples or the apostles to what? To give it to men, captains of 50s. So there is a particular word. You know, there was a time that it was clear to Jesus that there's no other way. He had to go to where? To the cross. What did he say? He said, not my will, but what? But your, it was a word. So we should know that for every situation, there is a specific word for that situation. There is a specific word, and we should know how to wait for that word to come. While waiting to receive a word, the believer must open his heart and mind to the Lord in prayer. At such, say prayer.
Prayer.
You can't enjoy living the miraculous if you are not a prayer person. It's important for us to know that prayer is a factor in living the miraculous. It's very essential, very expedient. You can't take it out. And that is why you see Jesus, he will go to a solitary place to go and pray. If you don't pray, you will fail. If you don't pray, you will faint. And if you don't pray, you what? You will fall. Why? Because we have rebel orders of authority. Even if you initiate it, they don't want it to be sustained. They want you to lose it. So you need to stay in the place of prayer. Because in the place of prayer also, that is where you also receive word. Breath can come upon scripture. You know, Babu Edebo said something in one of his books. He said that there was a time he went to seek the face of the Lord. He was reading scriptures and praying. Those were the two major things he did. And he did that for 3 days. He said on the third day, he received a word. The Lord told him, son, now put coal of fire on your mouth. He said, anything you say, you will see it. When they brought the news to him that Lazarus, his friend, was dead, he said, no, he's sleeping. Well, you know, he didn't go immediately. Between the time that he received the news and the time that he went, he had prayed. He had prayed and he had received answer that this sickness is not nigh unto death. He's just sleeping. So when they told, he said, no, he's asleep. He told the disciples, let us go and wake him up. He said, ah, if he's sleeping, let him wake up by himself now. They didn't know that he was actually dead. By the time he got there, it was already the fourth day. And by biological, you know, stance, it's already an irreversible case. But because he has tarried in the place of prayer, he has received word concerning Lazarus. And that was why he started with thought, Father, I thank you for your word. Hear me always. So he has prayed. So the miracle did not happen because he was a preferred child or a preferred believer. No, he had what? He had prayed. Because if you don't pray, you will become a prey. And that is why it is important for us to know that prayer is very, very important. Say heart search. You set your heart. Because heart search will help you to know when it is covetousness or it's an only desire. Because God will not sponsor desire that will kill you. So the place of heart search will help you to know, why do I want this thing? You know, at times, even to perform miracle, it's good you set your heart. Is it to the glory of God or to the glory of man? Scriptural meditation and continuous inquiry over the situation. All these things are very needed. The essence of engaging scriptures is not merely to store information, but to assess the word for inward transformation that facilitates gracious living. Let's read the book of Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be what? Acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So, what are the meditations of your heart? If what you meditate on is what Satan has said, if what you meditate on is actually doctor's report, how will you enjoy living the miraculous? Response of faith. The Lord will always speak to a believer who positions himself to receive his word for every situation. However, the believer is expected to respond in faith and move at the command of the Lord. He is to step out in faith, acting in line with the substance of faith in his heart. Let's read the book of John chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. His mother saith unto the servant, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone. Say whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
He asks you to do. Do it.
Do it.
So when the word comes, do it. That action, that doing is actually what is called response of faith. Faith is not complete without your deeds. Apostle James affirmed it. That I will show you my own faith by my works. By my works, you know I have faith. But faith without works is what? It's dead. Faith without works.
Faith without works.
It's like spirit without body. Faith without works is like spirit without what? Without body. You know, when spirit is not in body, it cannot be expressed on the earth. Can't find expression or manifestation on the earth. Why? Because, so you see that what houses faith is actually the actions or the response you give faith. So you can say that faith is a spirit. Faith is also a substance. But that substance always must be found in something, in a container, in a vessel. So what houses faith are actions. You see, the reason why one of the instructions given is that give and it shall be given unto you. Do you know it's a response of faith? Because when you are saying that a poor person does not give, always want to receive. So one of the response of faith that the Lord shall supply all my needs is that I come to church, I plan for my offering. Is that I give as it is required. I give as necessity comes. I give even as I found it in my heart. Because what you are doing is that you are giving a response of faith. And that is why you can't say that you believe that you'll be in health and you are not responding to faith. Do you know that response to faith also is that you should wait on the Lord concerning your diet. You should wait on the Lord even concerning the kind of bodily exercise you should be doing. Some of us, we hit 3 square meals. What is 3? What is square? What is squaring in 3? Is 3 not triangle? So you will see that a response to faith also brings about you inquiring and taking action. What type of action should I take? So you say you are healed, but yet you are under duvet on your bed. That's not a response to faith. Kenneth Hagin said it. After the Lord healed him, he was still on bed. Then Holy Ghost told him, stand up. He said, do what people that are okay, do what they do. People that are healed, do what they do. And his family, they were actually at the dining, you know, at the other room. Leave the bedroom. You take steps. You know, the Lord told me something while I was praying this week, you know, for this particular lesson. He said, I want to heal with HIV and hate issues. Oh, do you believe that? Receive your healing right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. It is done. You know, you're expectant. Trusting the Lord for fruit of the womb. You know, a step of faith to go to the market and buy what? Baby things. You are preparing the house. It's a response to faith. No, how will you be preparing for a job and you are not preparing? There's no response. You say you need a job, you are not revamping your CV. You say you need a job, you are not sending your CV out. You see, these are what? Response of faith. And if you don't have, nobody can do that for you. There are 3 different authors that I check concerning receiving your miracle. They said the same thing. Really, God have done it. It's on you. A man of faith is not governed by human reasoning or natural senses. It's governed by the word. It does not act because it makes sense, but because God has spoken. As he said it, this is the faith response required of every believer once the word is spoken, because we must become word governed. Let's read the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. The believer's response of faith may take many forms. A steadfast refusal to consider contrary circumstances, but only what the Lord has said. A yielded posture of heart. You know, these are the things that we need to know. Or a definite act of obedience to love commandment carried out with persistence. What you should stand on. Your response to faith. The things that your response to faith contains are actually what the Lord has said. You standing on what the Lord has said is a response to faith. Not standing on any other ground, but accept that which the Lord has said. Someone gave a testimony and said that he has been sick for many years, for over 8 years. She can't use the restroom without being assisted. But what happened? She attended a meeting and she was being ministered to. And her response to faith was to say, I'm going to the toilet. She proposed now that she's going to the toilet. Immediately, her stomach began to be troubled. That now she wants to empty her bowels. And she went alone. And for the first time in 8 years, she used the restroom without being assisted. Because she gave a response. Why? Because she stood on that which the Lord has said concerning her. Another response is to have a yielded posture of heart. Having a posture of heart that yields is actually a response to faith. You know, many of us, the reason why we are not living the miraculous is because we are not yielding to what has been said. Another response to faith is continual confession of the word. Bishop said, a soundless Christian will be a signless Christian. If you can't sound it out, said you'll be signless. Signs and wonders, you won't see them. Say, confessing the word.
Confessing the word.
Many of us, we confess our situation more than what the Lord has done. Many of us, we love to confess doctor's report. There was a report that was brought to Bishop. Said he squeezed the report and threw it. Said, no, that is not the Lord's report. What does the word say? Because many of us, the way we esteem doctor, doctor is not the Lord. He's a doctor. He himself is doctored. So when doctors are giving you reports, because they are doctor, they've been doctored to say what they see. But the word of God does not say what it is. The word of God establishes God's desire for man. And that is why you have to believe. That's the response to that faith. Then a definite act of obedience to love commandments. Say love commandments.
Love commandments.
You can't enjoy living the miraculous. One of the response of faith that you must have is to obey love commandments. Because it is faith that worketh by love. And we must be a people that are persistent. You can't be a believer that is easily chicken out. Because you've trusted the Lord for 24 hours, you are not seeing it and you want to back out. The scripture says concerning these heroes of faith, in the book of Hebrews, it says some of them, they what? They died in faith. They lived by faith. And they what?
They died in faith.
It means that none of them, sickness could not take them. Say confession.
Amen.
I like this part so much. From the abundance of believers' heart, the mouth is to speak forth in faith what the Lord has spoken concerning the matter. Instead of uttering words of fear, doubt, and uncertainty, the believer is to consistently declare what the Lord has said, rather than what is presently evident. Let's read the book of Matthew chapter 12, verse 34b. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? The mouth speaketh. Confession is not mere positive declarations, but a declaration of faith to affirm God's word over a matter. In spite of contrary situations, the mouth is a powerful member of the body that can declare life into a seemingly dead situation. Let's read Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Let's read the TPT version. Say death and life. Please, you want to see miracles concerning your children? Speak life to them. Even when the child is not responding well, say you are a good child. You are a blessed child. You are a victorious child. Confess what you want to see, not what you are seeing. Want to go to church? Can you be talkative concerning God's promises for you? Many of us, what we like to talk about, you know, you can talk your spouse into death. Complain today, complain tomorrow, complain, complain. Because what you are confessing is what you keep seeing. If you want to change the situation, be talkative about life. Talk about life. Oh, my spouse is the best in the world. Keep praying, keep confessing. Ah, you see, you are still battling with what you are battling with. Because you've not involved your mouth in that warfare. How did David conquer Goliath? Some of you, if you see Goliath in the natural, you will pee on your body. But say, who are you? You uncircumcised Philistine. Today, I will give what? Give your head to the fowls of the air. That is how you should say to unpalatable situations. All the roles that God needs to play, he has played it. Immediately, he gave his son. He has played all his role. You have a role to play. You have to believe. Because through the Son, he has what? Freely given us all, not some things, all things that you can ever think of. Say confession.
Confession.
I love the confession of David. You know, what put the remaining 10 spies into trouble was their confession. What's their confession? They said, they were narrating the event, but the two, the scripture says it was found in them another spirit. What were they confessing? What the Lord has said to them concerning the land. Can you confess what the Lord has said to you concerning this matter? We struggle. Do you know that at times Satan is even amazed concerning we believers? You see, let's read the book of 1 Samuel 2:3. Say, God is God of knowledge. Because if you don't know, one minister of God said that the biggest problem of a believer is ignorance. He said, talk no more. Yes, so exceedingly proud. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. If all you confess is negative things, the obvious things you are seeing that they are not palatable, you are empowering those things. Because in your tongue is life and death. Bishop Oyedepo said that he had an encounter with a scripture that God breathed into the nostrils of man and man became a living soul. He said God breathed. That if the breath of God can make organs, can make the body, he said immediately he caught that revelation. He knew that there is no problem that is insurmountable. There was a boy that had polio. Polio had wrecked, you know, his leg. He said, bring him. Because I have a revelation. He didn't say in Jesus' name now. He breathed. And there was testimony. You see, you can't live a victorious Christian life without involving your mouth. You have to involve your mouth. You should be able to rescue yourself with your mouth. Confess what the Lord has said. Confess the word of God. Hallelujah. That's the power of confession. He says, say to this mountain. He didn't say, think about this mountain. There is the place for meditation. There is the place for confession. Confession leads to manifestation. How do you raise the dead? Do you go around the dead and be thinking? Stand up now. You are thinking. What do you say?
Rise up.
Jesus, the scripture says, and he cried out, Lazarus, come forth. You are thinking about your own matter. That is why you are going into depression. Say it loud. I am healed. Say it out. This week is my week that will be full of miracles. I said from today's effort, from this hour, I will be living miraculous life. Say, living the miraculous. You say it with your mouth. You declare it. Oh my God. Are there people that are having challenges with how they look in the natural? Look at the mirror. Say, I'm beautiful. I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. Oh my God. Ha! You say, oh, I like this, my space. Because this space, I'm moving to a bigger space. Oh! Are you trusting the Lord for a vehicle? For an automobile? You say, ha, I need to go and learn how to drive. Because one is on its way. Are you trusting the Lord for a new job? Can you dress? Can you dress? You're in your house. Can you dress and consider how you go to that office the first day? He said, hey, thank you so much, Mr. Kunle. You are the only one in the room, but you are practicing it. It's a confession. I can remember I stayed at home the third year. I said, no, I'm either going to entry school this year or I'm done with school. 3 years. I said, mommy, start buying things. I'm going, even if it's poly. I'm going. Then the Lord told me. He said, do you know that if you believe you enter this year, you enter? I said, I believe. You see, believe God and confess. That is why salvation circle is not even complete without confession. He said, if you believe in your heart and what? Confess with your mouth. Nobody gets saved without saying. You have to say it. Staying in Thanksgiving. Many of us, the posture we take is complain. Anxiety. No, say Thanksgiving. Say Thanksgiving. Do you know that Thanksgiving is one of the highest currency that you can use to transact with God? You see, there is nothing you can give God that he does not have. But I discover something. When you give thanks, God collects it. Oh my God, you don't get it. You don't get it. We say, God, come and take my car, my house, my eat. But when you give him thanks, he collects it. He receives thanks. Instead of complaint and anxiety, can you give him thanks? The only thing you can give God that he can collect is thanks. Oh my God, say Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving puts you in an advantage that you have something to give. Concerning that situation, give thanks. Thanksgiving completes the circle of the miraculous and ensures victory. It is an offering of the lips which pleases the Lord and guarantees wholeness in every situation and circumstances. As a man of faith is a man in thanksgiving at all times. Let's read the book of Romans chapter 4 verse 20. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Giving what?
Giving glory to God.
That glory is thanks. Abraham was giving thanks to God. Let's read the TPT version, please. Want to go church? He never stopped believing God's promise, for he was made strong in his faith to father a child. And because he was mighty in faith and convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promise, Abraham glorified God. So the reason why you should give thanks is not because the situation has changed. But the reason you should give thanks is because God has all the power. Oh, all power belongs to God. Because God has the power. So when you give him thanks, what God gives you in exchange is what? His answer. Let's read Luke chapter 17, verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him what? Thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Do you know the beautiful thing? The 10 of them, they were actually healed. But only one came back to give thanks. Do you know that it was that one that came back to give thanks was the one that was made whole? So thanksgiving makes you whole. The interplay of the heart and mouth for miraculous living. The believer must be deliberate in labor to bring his heart, mind, and mouth into alignment with the realities of the word, the name, and the blood of Jesus. The meditations of the heart, the thoughts of the mind, and the confessions of the mouth must all agree for the full circle of miraculous to be realized. James 1, 6 to 8. Want to go church? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We are considering the interplay of the heart, the mind, and the mouth. For what? Miraculous living. Let's read Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So you see that there's interplay between your heart and your mind and your mouth. You see, you may have a word in your heart, but your mind that is relating to the physical realities of the situation can be double-minded. That is, one leg agreeing with your heart, with the faith in your heart, one leg agreeing with the physical situation that you can see. And that is why you see that your mouth will not help you. So you say it over to move that part of your mind. That second part that wants to agree with that, you move it, you establish it back into your heart so that you can receive that which is good from God. Faith is a commodity of the heart and is central to the believer's expectation from God and receiving from him. The miraculous flow where the heart believes with ease. Yet, this faith is received and sustained by the continual hearing and alignment with the word of God. Hence, faith in the heart kickstarts the miraculous process. You know, Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that must come to God must first believe that he is. You have to believe that he is. Matthew chapter 13 verse 58 says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. This was the Lord Jesus. Nobody will receive miracle or enjoy miraculous living without believing. Living the miraculous will be alien to you without believing. And believing means you believe in your heart, you believe in your mind, and you also believe with your mouth. The mind is easily influenced by external forces. Let's read the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. You have to ensure that you keep renewing your mind and be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You have to keep renewing your mind with the word of God. It's a retraining, a reculturing, that your mind can easily believe. And the believer's mouth plays a vital role, because through confession, believers can keep the mind in check, enforcing the realities revealed to the heart and not considering the contradictions around. A believer's mouth is meant to minister what? Grace. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good. So what should come out of your mouth should be that which is good. In conclusion, the believer's responsibility to engage and participate in the supernatural provisions of God cannot be overemphasized. Though the basis of the supernatural rests upon God's provisions, abounding and growing in these realities depends on the believer's daily appropriation of them. So you will see that it is very important for you to believe in your heart. Your mind also, you must ensure you make your mind. And how you can make your mind is to keep renewing it with the word of God. The word of God is the renewing agent for the mind, whereby the mind can believe. Then your mouth is confessing that which the heart believes. Hallelujah. Spirit Wiggles once said, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I believe. What do you believe? Can we respond to the Lord this morning?
To Jesus for the help that we have found. We've been helped so greatly in this series. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Pray that this will not just stop here, but this will be our reality in the name of Jesus. How many people promise not to close this chapter? You know, there's a way you can move on to the next series. We are not meant to just move on like that, because this should be our experience until it is imported. Miraculous life is not here, and that is why you have to import it. It's not a word that you just fall into by default. You need to what? Import it. I understand one of the services you render in the business that we do is clearing and forwarding. So there are a lot of process involved in importing a good. It's a process. And sometimes that process requires waiting. Do you understand that now? So there are a lot of documentation you have to do. It's not just all about buying from the origin. So you can buy, but it does not stop there. You cannot use the goods until it gets to you. So, and there are processes involved. Because like Pastor said, some of us chicken out so easily. Because you said it yesterday, it did not work, does not mean it does not work. So you need to keep on saying it. The place of confession is very, very powerful. Very, very, very powerful. I love that scripture in Romans 10. You know, you can believe in your heart, but because you are not saying it, it will never come to pass. You know, I just wrote something while Pastor was ministering to us, that every situation that sin brought, you know, they are actually speaking of Satan to a man. You remember that Goliath continued to curse the children of Israel for days, for 40 days, and nobody could arise. That's what situation does to us. He wants to beat your mind to accept that situation. Harass you. Satan, have you seen guys that knows how to harass people? It's not because they can beat you sometimes, though. So Satan harasses us with situations. When Satan says, whose report will you believe? I have been with a doctor before. Imagine I turned to a counselor, to a doctor. One of the most sought after neurologists. I don't know what came over this man. He was just talking to me. Say, I just checked your report. I saw God as really, this is a great healing. No? This is beyond, with all that you have gone through. Say, when you just look at we doctors, say, we give you reports. Like we keep our own reports. This man confessed to me that he knows of every top doctors, that if he begin to mention names, that most of them have up to four, five matters that they are dealing with concerning their health. You want to trust your life to the hand of those people? He told me himself. I told my wife when I got home. He said he's dealing with diabetes. When he contacted me, I said, Pastor, is enough. I said, Doctor, is enough. I wanted to say, can I pray with you? He said, you can pray, but you cannot pray like a normal conventional prayer. I said, in the name of Jesus. Now I turn to a doctor. To a doctor! We should not keep our mouth. That situation want to keep on. Imagine, shut down the people of God for a good 40 days. A man saw that strategy. He saw that strategy. Money and night, daddy. How many of us are reading that health books? I don't just want to be here. I want to live in health. For I wish you above all things that thou mayest prosper. A man in prosperity is not a man that is managing. You can manage to be okay. I'm okay. I'm fine. You are managing. There's always the best plan of God. You can log into it. It's your choice. And you can choose to take the lesser parts. Let me just be, whenever I'm sick, you should not be sick in the first place. So keep saying it. Because one thing about the mind, like mommy taught us, mind is very close to the body. There's always that place. That's why even salvation is not complete without confession. And that process continues. Do you know that process continues? Because we can think that because we are people that is on a journey to the throne, confession is not. The Lord knows that. Excuse me, if you don't say some matter, if you don't keep saying it, the enemy will continue to say it to you. He's saying it in the morning. He's saying it at night. And some of us are cooperating with him. I know my Redeemer liveth. That's not how your Redeemer lives. That's not how your Redeemer lives. Your Redeemer lives by you saying it. Confession is powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful. You will always have whatsoever you say if you don't stop saying it. The grace of God is bestowed upon me, but I labor more than ye all. Because we need to import this word. All that I mentioned today are what? The document of importations and actions. Don't leave this topic without you taking action. And just leave it there, and that has come. You say, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored. Everybody say, I labored.
I labored.
So the gracious living to bestow labor. Yes. It's not just for us to go and sit down and begin to expect that. You are like the person, you bought goods in China and you went back to go and sit in your home country. And you're expecting that, yes, that goods will come one day. It will never come. I've seen people that imported car and the car never arrived to today. He said, I labor more abundantly than they hold, yet not I. Why doing all these things? You are still not the one. It's just the grace that has what? That has prepared you to labor. But the grace of God, which was with me. Living miraculously is open over us as a people. The Lord told me this morning, he said, it's a portal that is open. He said, the men should begin to catch it. Catch it daily in your homes. Catch it daily in your place of work. In the morning, catch it. At night, hold on to it. Because it's a portal open to us as a house. Can we respond to Jesus this month?
For in Jesus' name we have prayed. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. We thank God for this mercy that we've received for the past 8 weeks. Can we appreciate God? Can we appreciate God? Thank you so much, Pastor Dayo Mustafa, for the labor. Thank you so much, Daddy Abraham, for the labor. Amen. So just briefly, just say a little thing here. The miraculous is upon us as a people. You know, basically, you know, what this lesson is showing us, like what our pastors have said, over the weeks, we've been talking about God's provisions, the basis of the supernatural, and what God has made available to us, right? And today we are looking at the part of man, what we are meant to do in response to what God has provided. Can we say amen? Because, you know, the supernatural is not one way. The supernatural is actually a collaborative effort that has to do with heaven and the earth. I remember this example, you know, that Pahagin, you know, usually talks about. He talks about a particular woman that he prayed for when she was sick and she got her healing. And she was fine for, you know, maybe a couple of years. Then after a while, that sickness came back. And Pahagin prayed for her again, but that sickness did not go. So he went to ask the Lord, "Lord, what is happening?" Lord said, "She has come of age. She is to exercise her own faith if she will be healed." Many of us, we just believe, oh, when daddy says the word, when daddy prays, and I believe, there is a place of where even spiritual authority can carry us to a point, even in the miraculous. But there is a point that even God will not allow them to carry you beyond that point. Because you must appropriate these things by yourself. So personally, there are things that God has already laid down that you as a person must grow into. You must understand and know the dynamics of how the supernatural works. Looking at how the miraculous works, you know, I think, you know, F.F. Bosworth in the book Christ the Healer, you know, he made mention of something. He said the physical manifestation of healing in your body is like when you write a record for a gold that you've deposited in the bank. So you deposit gold in the bank, the cashiers or whoever collects bank, you know, they now write that, okay, so ounces of gold has been deposited. So that record on that book is like the manifestation you are seeing in your body. But some things have gone on in your soul that you don't even know. So the deposit of the physical manifestation of healing is not the totality of what has been done in you as a person. Some things has gone on behind the scene that has been deposited within you that is just being manifested. So why am I saying this? I'm saying this to show that, look at the story of that woman that had the issue of blood. It started with her hearing about Jesus. That thing ignited a desire in her heart. Now, it didn't mean that she didn't have desire to be healed all along, but she had been spending with the physicians and the likes, but nothing happened. But when she heard, no, that hearing is like faith came to her. That she had heard, you know, many people were crying, "Oh, Jesus, Jesus," and she said that, "Oh, if I can but touch the hem of his garment." Desire ignited something within her. For someone that has been losing blood for years, you know how weak and frail that person will be. And there were a lot of people around Jesus at that time. And, you know, she was trying to get her way to Jesus until when she was able to touch the hem of his garment. What happened that you don't know? Jesus said, "What left me?" He said, "Virtue left me." Meaning by the reason of desire, you can bring yourself into atmosphere that something will leave Jesus. Something, you will impart something from the realm of the miraculous into the earth. By reason of a strong desire in your heart. That nobody is knowing that anything's happened, but you have received your healing. And Jesus thought, something really left Jesus.
That desire was able to command something to leave Jesus. Jesus did not even have to speak to her. She was able to get it. See, who touched me? See, everybody has been touching you, but nothing left Jesus. People have been touching Jesus, but nothing left Jesus. But a woman touched him and something left. And he didn't go again. He said, no, this is the end. What happened just now? Something left me. You can ignite the realm of the miraculous by desire. Because desire will guide you into how to touch the hem of his garment. When you touch it like this, something will happen. And Jesus said, something left me. Something left me. No, the place where the mind comes in is that place of, when Jesus was walking on the water that day. And, look at Jesus. He did not calm the storm that day. No, the issue around Jesus and water is plenty in the Bible. There was time he was sleeping in the boat and the disciples were like, Master, we don't want to die. And he rose up and he said, peace be still. Another time, the disciples were going on the boat by themselves and then there was storm. And Jesus did not calm the storm. He was walking on the water. He did not even bother about what was happening. The disciples were like, ah. But he now saw, ah, John, is this not the Lord? This is not the Lord. And Peter said, if you are the one, tell me to come. And Jesus said, yeah, come. And Peter stepped on that word and he was walking on water. But where the mind comes in, when he began to observe and see the boisterous wind and saw this, he forgot the word that Jesus said. And then he began to sink. So that is where the mind comes in. The heart can believe and jump out in faith and begin to carry out. But when you begin to observe the natural, this thing is still there. I'm still deteriorating. What's happening? You will forget what the Lord has said and you begin to sink. So the reason why not just the mouth and the heart alone, the mind must be involved, is that the mind can distract you from what the heart is believing. So the heart, the mind, and the mouth must be in sync consistently. Lastly, on that word about the miraculous, there was a man, Apostle Paul, he was also in a similar condition when there was boisterous wind all around. But in the midst of that, he was the one giving encouragement to every other person. That's also miraculous. Because why? He had a word. The other people were just trying to, survive. The miraculous life is not a life that is just trying to survive. It's a life that has the word. So you know the outcome. Everybody's what's happening. This tax regime, this one, that one, hope will not die like this. But then you have a word. And you can tell people, the angel of the Lord stood beside me today. He said, no life will be lost. Guys, please eat. There's storm around, but say, please sir, you've been fasting for a long time. If we get to that place, just eat first. But the Lord has already given his word. And then we cannot sing. We cannot die with this situation. Because miraculous is not one way. I use all those different scenarios to show you that miraculous is not one way. But one thing must be constant. You must have the word. You must have desire. You must be in the place of prayer and communion. You must know the end of the situation. That this thing is not for death. This thing is to give God glory. Because why? Satan no longer has power over. When you talk about the blood, you are redeemed from the grip of Satan. Satan does not have the last say over my life. Satan cannot laugh last upon my life. I don't belong to him. What he can do is that he can talk to the wind and the wind will start shouting. And then the Lord will say, speak to the wind and I'll calm the wind. At that point, don't say, walk through this wind. Because you know that at the end, you are going to arrive at the shore safely. That's miraculous living. But it doesn't end on the table of God. There's an exercise. Every day, morning and evening, there must be a place whereby we are engaging and interacting with the miraculous. The miraculous is upon us as a people. Can we just raise our hands to heaven? I want to say this word. The miraculous.
The miraculous.
The miraculous.
The miraculous.
The supernatural. I live in it.
I live in it.
I walk in it. It's my reality. It's my reality. The pressures of life, the adversities we face, they are not my reality. I have another reality. I have another reality. It is in the word of God. It is in the word of God. It is in the name of Jesus. It is in the name of Jesus. It is the blood of Jesus. That way I live victoriously. I walk triumphantly. I am not intimidated. I am not afraid. I am not anxious. But I am bold. 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 I walk in victory. I walk in victory. I walk in victory. I stand in my reality as a child of God. Thank you, Father.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. I just perceive strongly in my heart that there's so much power available in this thing. I don't want this lesson to finish. It's not a thing that we are concluding. We are not concluding it. I've enjoyed mercy so much. Even no matter how sick you are, if you come to my house, you stop being sick. You can't come to my house. And by the time you stay there, you can't. Again, thought it. We must so much carry presence, graces. It's not for pastor. It's not for pastor. It's for every believer. We must live in that reality. I want to read two scriptures for us. The first one is Psalm 107, verse 2. That's what the redeemed says. The redeemed people are not careless. That's what the redeemed of the Lord should say so. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. What are you doing with enemy's things? What are you doing with it? You have been redeemed from the enemy. What are you doing with his things? What are you doing with his things in your body? What are you doing with his things in your life of your children? What are you doing with these things in your head? What are you doing with the things in your life? He has redeemed you from the enemy. Then why do you have enemy's hand in your life? It's like a man that has been delivered from Pharaoh. God have redeemed, for Pharaoh will not let them go. But Moses will not allow. Moses kept on bringing different plague until the Pharaoh let them go. If enemy is grabbing your children, you must take your stand. If enemy is holding your babies, you have to take your stand. If enemy is holding your money, Aki will say, Satan, get off my money. You can't hold my money. Get off my money. Get my money anywhere that my money is. Get, leave it for me in the name of Jesus. It's my money. It belongs to me. And I need it right now. I have to use it. Jesus, you must assess. He said, let the redeemer of the Lord say so. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So you have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You should not negotiate with the enemy for anything. You should not. There's a God's best, but you can choose not to receive it. And God will not force it on you. I got to know this. After I met a man that is, if you want God's best, God is best. If you want God's best, let all those good choose for you. And the beauty of that, Jesus have chosen the best for you. They have chosen the best for you. But you can say, I don't want it. And it's not about they don't force it. It's not, they don't force spiritual things. If you want it, you must do the labor. The labor is for you, that you know the provision and you understand step by step how you can take your stand and don't observe lying vanities. Because if you observe lying vanity, you forsake your mercy. Let's read a case study of this scripture. 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to show you something about that woman. Verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed towards Shemen. There was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And it was so that as often as it passed by, it turned him either to eat bread. This was a great woman. She's a woman with substance. She has means. And she said to her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passed by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in eater. And it fell on the day that he came eater, and he turned unto the chamber, and lie there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. So it's a Shunammite woman. She's not a Jew. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, that I have been careful with us. Careful me, that I have been good to us. With all this care, you take care of us. What is it to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? Gehazi answered, verily, she had no child, and her husband is old. If there are conditions that are defy natural forces. And he said, call her. And when they are called her, she stood in the door. And she said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaiden. And the woman conceived. She doesn't have faith for it. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, he fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when you are taking him, can you see an old man? He was carrying the baby to the farm because he has grown, no child. So he has a bond, the little baby. So he can't, the child said, my head, my head, my head. He said, carry him to the mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knee till noon and then died. I want you to see this woman. When she done, you will see her condition. She has grown over the time because of this thing. Sometimes, why you need some miracle in your life is to be able to energize you, to be able to believe God for future things. You will see her confession. And she went up and lay on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, where will I go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. Look at it. He showed that she usually visit the man of God. So maybe the husband told her, usually come the man of God. You know, man of God need to have some venison. Maybe usually carry some food on Sabbath day to go and draw for man of God. Today is not Sabbath. Where are you going to him? The man did not understand. He didn't bother to tell husband that the boy is dead. She was not the one that was jittery. Something has arisen in her heart. She shut it up. Just said, send me a young man and send me an ass. And she went up and lay him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went. And then she shadowed her and asked. She's by herself. She was not crying. She shadowed the house by herself. And go forward. She started and said to the servant, drive, drive, and go forward. Slack not. Directly. If it's 120 kilometers per hour, make sure you go there. Slack not. Thy ready for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God. There's something she said. She called to her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, where would I go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. New moon is monthly. When you have new moon, monthly. She usually visit either monthly or every 7 days if she's man of God. Nor Sabbath. She said, it shall be well. Say that the redeemer of the Lord says so. What did he say? What did he say? It shall be well. She did her husband, the child is dead. Why are you going? Why are you traveling to the storm? She told her husband, it shall be well. It shall be well. That's what he told her. It shall be well. She was not confessing. Sister, the man, the baby is dead. No. It shall be well. Then she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that is set to Gaza. It is our behold, yonder is the that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? Want to go see the sons again, everybody? As she answered, it is well. It is well. It is well with my wife. It is well with my children. It is well with the pastorate. It is well with the pregnant women. It is well with the young men. It is well with the little one. It is well. It is well. Then, and when she came to the man of God, to the she caught by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord that he did from me had not and had not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, get up thy loins and take my staff in thy hand and go thy way. If thy meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay thy my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as surely, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed. You can say, if you like, send your staff. And say, together, me, I know they live here. A lot of time, we settle too soon for less. That's why our situation is not changing. We settle too soon. You can't unless supernatural, miraculous, and you are timid, and you let anything just come around your corridor, mesmerize you, something. Yo, you must be a person that is persistent. Say, no problem. Want to send Gehazi? It's okay. And with your staff, it's okay. I'm not interested. You see, this is a woman. He's not even interested about the child. It's you I want. I'm here with you. 30 years are gone. Don't. When you come back, you still come back to that also. I'm not telling us, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those he has redeemed from the hands of the enemy. It is where? It is where? It is where? Just keep saying what the word of God said. Don't say contrarily. What you believe in your heart is not the final verdict of anything. It's what you say. God counts what you say than what you are thinking. What you are thinking matter. Because a man thinking is that so it is. For by a man's mouth it shall be justified. And by a man's mouth it shall be condemned. It's your mouth. It's your mouth. He said in the book of Isaiah, it shall come to pass in that day. No one will say in that land, I am sick. There's some language that you never say again. You are not sick. Even when your body say, I am strong. When you are weak, say, let the weak 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 say, I am more strong. See, they shall no longer say in that land, I am sick. A charge of 33:34. Want to everybody want to go? Are we in the city that they are forgiving us our iniquity? Yes, but they are only forgiving our iniquity again. Those who have been, they are forgiving their iniquity. It's also taunting. What did they say? The inhabitant shall not say. Say, what did the inhabitant will not say? What will the inhabitant not say? So, anytime you say contrary to what the inhabitant has not saying, then you are not part of the inhabitant today. They will not say. Even when the symptom is in your body, you don't say it out. When you come in, Daddy, I am very strong. I am strong as the living. The way I so strong, I feel like eating hot bowl of eba, Daddy. I said, are you sure? Yes, and with all pepper soup. Oh yeah, go and eat it. It is well with you. And it will be well. For whatsoever he said, that's what the teaching of Baba again. Marking. If you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in thy heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever. What? He said. They kept on repeating, said, said, said. That's how to walk in the realm of the miraculous and walk in the reality of the miraculous in the name of Jesus.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.